I met a new guy at a social event not too long ago, and I did what I think probably many of us do when we meet new people. I said, "Have you lived here all your life?" And I wasn't prepared for his answer. He said, "Well, no, not yet." I had to chuckle. I thought, well, yeah, he's got a good point there. Of course, he hasn't lived anywhere all his life. And that little exchange made me think a little about, you know, we have all been given life by God. Here we are. Here's the moment right now. We've all been given life by God. But do we live this life to the full? Do you remember that song, that wonderful song from Fiddler on the Roof? Sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset, swiftly fly the years. One season following another, laden with happiness and tears. Is that all there is to life? Season following one season, one to the other, happiness and tears, until it just dwindles to nothing. Or is there something better? Of course there is. Jesus said this in John 10:10. I have come that you might have life abundantly. And that's our great word for today. Abundant. Great word. What is abundant life and how can we find it? Most of us, you know, are approaching the finish line, if you will, of life. We're getting to that point. Do you want to enjoy the time that you have left? Okay, this sermon is for you. God wants you to have a full, ample, blessed, abundant life. How do you define that? Well, let's look at several ways. Maybe this is it. For many people, abundant life means being filled with activities. Doing, doing, doing. Never bored. Always having something interesting to do with their time. And for those who love that lifestyle, they love the word agenda. And they have a to-do list. And they love to check off the things they've done on the to-do list. And when they've checked that off, they like to add more things to the to-do list so that they can check off those tasks. And even though they keep on doing this, it's never ending. It just keeps flowing. And they're very, very happy. But of course, they also complain to anyone who will listen to how much they still have to do. You know what? I think it makes them feel important to live that kind of lifestyle and talk about it all the time. Do you know anybody like that? Don't look at your spouse if you are sitting with your spouse. Do you know anybody like that? I bet you do. I have a person in my family who's just like that. There are so many problems with that mentality, but one of the biggest ones is that it is not supported in God's word. It is not. God said such things as, be still. He said such things as, wait patiently. If those verses make you nervous, then maybe you have a problem. 1 Kings 19, we read about a great prophet of God by the name of Elijah, one of the heroes of the Old Testament. He worked very, very hard to shepherd the people of Israel. And the Lord, we're told, revealed himself in power to Elijah one day. But the Lord was not in the fire. He was not in the wind. He was not in the earthquake. He was in a still, small voice. And that was the most powerful part of all, the still, small voice. And people who are go, go, go all the time have a hard time hearing that voice. I hope you're not there. You might say, but I'm a Christian, and I'm called to give myself wholeheartedly to serve other people and to serve the Lord. I need to be doing everything that I can to build his kingdom, as long as he allows me to. Well, Mary had a little lamb. It would have been a sheep. But it became a Christian and died for lack of sleep. I know, that's pretty corny, isn't it? But I've known some Christians like that. The busier they are, the more spiritual they think they are. Oh, there's a lot more to abundant life than being busy. What might it be? Let's try a different one. Perhaps it's this. Perhaps abundant life means a long life. A long life. After all, the more years that you and I live here and serve here, the more experiences we have, the more memories we build, and we hang on to those things. I don't think I've ever met anyone who looked forward to or asked for a short life, do you? I don't think anybody here has done that. I hear lots of people, young and old people alike, saying, how wonderful heaven is going to be. I can hardly wait to get there. But I don't see them running to get in the front of the line at the pearly gates. I've said it, and you've said it, and the Bible says it. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. But just not today. I have a bucket list, and I want to get some things done before you come back, Lord. Long life. We really just want to live a little longer, just a little longer. So is that the definition of abundant life? According to the Bible, there were some people in the Old Testament who lived really long years. We really don't know whether this is literally true or whether this is symbolic or it's something else. Regardless, the oldest of them is Methuselah. You've heard of old man Methuselah. He lived 969 years. Oh, God help him. Can you imagine? He lived 969 years, and this is most of his biography from Genesis 5:27. It says, thus all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. There, that's it. That's all that the Bible tells us about him. He must not have accomplished very much. For it not to be recorded any more than that. Is longevity what we're talking about with a bundle? I don't think so, do you? I mean, Mozart. Mozart was a prolific composer. He composed over 600 pieces of music, but he died at the age of 36. He had a full life in only 36 years. Martin Luther King had a full life himself, and he died at the age of 46. And Jesus died at the age of 33, but nobody had a more abundant life than Jesus in just those 33 years. Longevity is not the secret to abundant life. So what is? Oh, I know. The answer is easy. Abundant life is one filled with wealth and comfort. Yes. When you have enough money to enjoy the good things of life and keep up with all the Amazon.com challenges, then you have an abundant life. Just ask someone who is struggling right now to meet the challenges of putting food on the table and paying the rent and buying the gas for their car. And they look at someone who has everything they need and they wish they were wealthy and that they were enjoying the abundant life. I'm going to tell you about my first full-time job. My first full-time job was as a minister of music in a Presbyterian church in Cincinnati, Ohio. And my starting salary was $20,000 a year. Now, Elizabeth and I had only been married 2 months. I mean 2 years. And we thought that we had just died and gone to heaven. We never dreamed we would make that kind of money. Just so you understand, I looked it up. $20,000 in today's money is $165,000 a year. And then Elizabeth got a full-time job as a public school music teacher. Double the money, honey. And then she and I took on private piano students. Triple the money, honey. Our abundance was growing. We bought our first house. We were just swimming in comfort. The more money we had, however, the more we spent. And the more we bought, the more we thought we needed. And the more we thought we needed, the more deprived we began to feel. So we spent money like, you know, and we went into debt to the point that we had to go out and borrow some more money, and then we couldn't afford to pay it all back. And then Elizabeth became pregnant, and she stopped her job. And the money dropped off, and Harry felt desperate because I thought, how am I going to meet these obligations? Thank God that our church had a very wise treasurer. And we sat at his feet. In fact, I went to the pastor of the church and said, Jerry, I'm in trouble. And he said, we'll do everything we can to help you, but there's one requirement. You have to submit to John. So I sat at John's feet, and he taught us disciplines on managing money that we really needed. I had no idea how much we needed it. We learned so much from him. I'm so grateful. But we also learned the hard way the truth of what Jesus said in Luke 12:15. One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. He didn't say money. He said possessions. How's your basement? How's your attic? How's your garage? How's your closet? How are the drawers in your bedrooms? How many possessions do you have? One's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. Okay. Abundant life, busy life, long life, none of those are the answer. Busy, long, having lots of stuff. What is it? What is the answer to abundant life? Maybe it's people. Maybe it's fellowship. Maybe it's family. Family and fellowship. We need to be connected to other people if we're going to be whole. Are you listening to me? If you are a loner, you're not going to be whole. You need other people in your life. You need to be connected. You need friends. You need family. And the more children we have, and the more grandchildren we have, and the more great-grandchildren we have, the more we share our pictures on our iPhones to everybody that will look at them. Just haven't you seen that going on? With great joy and pride. You see it everywhere. People beam with delight. That must be what the abundant life is all about. Those great-grandchildren of yours. But have you ever experienced this when the tough times come? And they do. And they will. Sometimes those friends and those family members who are really very close to us in the good times just are simply too busy to be able to provide everything we need from them at that time. It happens all the time. They try, but they can't be all to you, to me. Even Jesus experienced that. The closer he got to the cross, his closest friends slept while he wept. One of them denied him. One of them doubted him. One of them betrayed him. Close friends are wonderful, but they can also be very fragile. No, the abundant life is not how many people you have on your contact list, even though it may seem that way. You know, this is getting frustrating. I'm looking for an answer, and I'm not getting anywhere. You probably already know what the real answer is. So let's pretend that you don't, and you're hearing it for the first time. Or maybe you're rediscovering it. Abundant life comes from knowing Jesus. No, that is not the answer either. Are you surprised? Abundant life is not just knowing Jesus. You can know Jesus. You can know a lot about Jesus. You can teach about Jesus. You can talk about Jesus. You can evangelize about Jesus. But there is more. And the answer is found in all that Jesus said about himself. For instance, these scriptures, and as I read these scriptures, see if you can find out what the clue is of what I'm about to say. Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And in John 10:17, he said, I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. But what did he say just before those two verses? In John 10:10, the thief, that's our adversary, the devil, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And then he defined what abundant life is. I lay down my life for my sheep. I lay it down of my own accord. The secret of abundant life is giving your life away. There. The secret of having an abundant life in the Lord is giving your life away. It comes when you truly care for other people and you freely lay aside your busyness and maybe your comfort to provide whatever is necessary to meet their needs. And Jesus said, I lay it down of my own accord. It's your choice whether or not you give yourself to others. What do you give? Time, talents, treasure, truth. All of that is ours to share with other people and give it away to meet their deepest needs. The irony of all that and the wonder of all that is that the more you do that, you never run out because it just keeps coming back to you. You keep taking it up again and God keeps refilling your tank so that you can help other people. You never run out. Isn't that great? Have you lived here all your life? Would you like to stay alive all your life? I mean really alive in the Lord. Well, the key is generosity. That rhymes. The key is generosity. Somebody should write a song. The key is generosity. Have you ever heard of a man by the name of Giovanni Di Pietro di Bernardone? That's a mouthful, I tell you. He lived in Italy many years ago. His father had lots of money, very wealthy man, and Giovanni had no trouble spending his father's money. One day he was working for his dad in the marketplace in Italy, selling velvet and other cloths to the wealthy people, and this filthy beggar came up to him and asked for money. He didn't have time for that beggar, and he pushed him away and continued to sell the velvet and the cloth. But a little bit later, his conscience began to bother him. And in fact, it began to scream in his head, why didn't you help that poor man? So he left his booth in the marketplace, and he went all throughout the marketplace there in that town in Italy looking for that poor beggar, and finally he found the beggar. And you know what he did? He emptied his pockets And he took everything out and he gave that beggar everything. I'm sorry I didn't respond to you when you came to me. Here, take everything. His friends thought he was a nutcase, and his father got furious with him for giving away all of his stuff. And it's a long story what happened, but it completely changed his life. And as a result, Giovanni embraced a life of poverty himself, to the point that he even became a beggar in the streets of Italy. And he ministered to the poor. And he ministered to more than the poor. He ministered to lepers. He nursed sick people in the streets of the city with no one else would touch. And he became known by the name of Saint Francis of Assisi. A very proud history of the Roman Catholic Church. And he wrote a prayer that you've heard many times. A wonderful prayer. Listen to it like you've never heard it. Lord, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. You know, he could have ended it this way. And it is in dying to self that we are born to abundant life. I like that. I'm going to copyright that. Please understand this. Abundant life does not consist of doing without. Abundant life does not consist of doing without. Just take the example of Jesus and abundance. It all started in the Garden of Eden. He filled it with so much abundance that it says it was flowing with milk and honey. And then he lived here on earth with us, and he turned water into the finest wine that there is. Not just Rotgut, but the finest wine. And when he was feeding the thousands of people with the baskets of bread and fish, there were 12 bushels of it left over. Abundance. He healed people who had been sick for decades. He healed people who had been blind since birth. He raised from the dead people who had been in the grave for days. He poured out so much more that John even said in chapter 21, verse 25, that the world could not contain in all the books that could be written his generosity. That's what he says. Jesus was generous, is generous. And we could go on and on and on. He gives the Holy Spirit without measure. Hallelujah for that. Rivers of living water, it says in the Bible. Rivers. Love everlasting. But remember what he said in Matthew 10, verse 8. Freely you have received. Freely give. 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 The secret to abundant life. He also said this in Matthew 6. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what will we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. There Jesus goes again. He gives us inner peace. He gives us inner peace. No anxiety. Peace in the midst of all the storms of life, and I know you've got them. We all do. And you know what? That is something you cannot buy on the shelves of CVS. That is something you cannot find on Amazon.com. Nor will you find it in a liquor store. Inner peace. You have so much abundance available to you from your Heavenly Father that the world could not contain all the books that you could write about your abundance blessings from Him. Hallelujah. But you will never understand it. You will not receive it. You will not enjoy it until you give it away. Give yourself away. Give your life away. And have fun. Have fun. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your ways are not our ways. And our ways are often not your ways. So when you say these things to us, Lord, help us to hear with ears that are touched by your hands, that we may be open to being the people that you want us to be. Help us, Lord, to be committed. Committed to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.